Let me ask you a couple of questions.
Okay. All right. In that case. How
are you preparing for New Year?
Oh, good question.
You don't have to answer that out loud. You know, I look on social media and I often see the same phrase and some derogatory thing, and it says, I need for 2018 to be over already. You seen that? And I mean, we have those things that happen in our lives that make us feel that way.
Right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And I think that there is, you know, there's no way to rewrite that or dismiss it. We have difficult things that happen. I think difficult things happen all the time. You know, my father passing away this year, meeting him for the first time and that kind of being gone. People passing away, seeing some of our loved ones as they're starting to take their journey home. You know, one of the players on our team, one of his friends, he wasn't at practice the last couple of days, and we found out yesterday that one of his friends got shot and killed. This is just a young kid. I think he's like a sophomore in high school. And you know, we have employment, relational stuff. We have all of these different things that jump off that happen to us. And it's difficult. It's difficult, but our God is a God of hope.
That's right.
And as you see, we've got a focus word for 2019, and it's believe. And I asked you this question this morning. Do you believe that our God is a God of hope?
Come on.
If you believe that, do you live a life worthy of your acknowledgement of that? We're going to talk a little bit about that as we get ready to move into 2019. I want us to kind of take a look back at the year, take some time before Wednesday. We've got our congregational midweek, and that's going to be incredible. I promise you in the Lord, it's going to be incredible. If you're not here, you're going to miss it. But you'll be able to connect, and no, I won't say that. You're just going to miss it. So now you got to come. It's going to be an awesome time. But I want to pray for several things, and then we'll jump into our text, which is going to be Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. That'll be our text. But let's pray, and I'm going to pray for several individuals that I know a little bit of something about. But I believe that God will minister to your hearts. God, we lift up this time to you, and we're reminded of how your people gathered and they prayed. They prayed to call on you. They prayed for strength. They prayed for boldness. They prayed for comfort. They prayed for deliverance. They prayed for your intercession. Your word says that we pray to you for wisdom. And we ask for wisdom this morning and how to process the difficult things that are going on, how to process culture, process patterns, process this last year, process maybe even a hopelessness moving into 2019. Father, we pray that we see you and our eyes are focused on you. Father, we pray for the most difficult of situations. And we pray, Father, and we believe whatever we just pray for mercy. And we pray, Father, that and we thank you in advance as you will define the beauty of your mercy. Help us to see it more and more in your word. Help it to bring us to a state of believing in you and believing in the reward that comes with those who earnestly seek you. Father, please help us to this year go to another level in our relationship with you, and our eyes and hearts and minds being open to see the things that we've missed because of our own sinfulness at work. We lift up all of the world to you right now. We lift up all of the difficult situations. We lift up those things that aren't talked about. We lift up those things that are in our inner selves this year to you. We submit them to you. And we're grateful, Father, that you will be glorified and that it's already on the way. It's already happening. We have opportunity to rejoice, and we thank you for that. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Awesome. So I asked, is anybody reading any? Did I ask you guys, is anybody reading any cool books right now? Did I ask that?
No.
No? Okay, so now I'm asking. Are you reading any cool books? What are you reading?
Love Does.
Love Does? Does what?
It does.
Oh, okay. All right.
As opposed to talks about it, as opposed to just...
Oh, okay. It's okay. It's active, huh? Okay. Yeah, come on.
The book called Adorned, the women in Columbia are reading it, and it's about how we are adorned with the scriptures and how we can adorn others.
Okay. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Yeah, come on.
Well, my friend Patty here gave me this great book for Christmas called The Prayer of Jabez.
Okay. Amen. Anybody else?
The Warrior.
The Warrior?
Sam Lang.
Oh, Sam Lang. I was going to say, is that the mixed martial arts guy? Amen. Sam Lang. Awesome. Awesome. Couple more.
Angel Unaware. It's by Dell Evans Rogers. And when I think
he's
a fourth child who had Down syndrome.
Yeah. Nice. Well, I mean, not nice, but I mean, nice. You know. Amen. Unama, one more? Yeah, come on, Sam. Hey! One of my favorites. Awesome. Amen. I'm reading a ton of books. I probably read 100 books a year. I'm reading a book called The Mamba Mentality. It's by Kobe Bryant. It's The Way I Play. And one of the excerpts from it, one of the intros to it, it says... If you are a casual basketball player, you don't even play basketball. If you read and apply this book, you will grow exponentially as a player. And then you kind of go through the titles and those different types of things, and it's like, man, if you got the guts to follow this, your game will be different. And Kobe's got this mentality that he's able to play. He's played through pain. He's played through. He had a torn Achilles tendon. And he was out there playing.
Oh my God.
He's got the last few years, he's been injured every year. And at some point in the game, he's playing during the course of that game. And I mean, he shouldn't be out there. Other guys wouldn't be out there. He is a what they call a great finisher. He's like the you know, second tier Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
But he's a finisher. If the game is close... And he gets the ball, your opportunities to win are 70, 80, 90%. He's one of those guys that's known as being able to play through difficulty. He's trained himself to be able to fight through culture, playing with difficult people, being difficult himself. L.A., he spent his whole career, never got traded. And he's won a ton of championships. I believe that Scripture... That Scripture gives us a mentality that we ought maybe look at from this year and maybe going into next year, called the Messiah mentality.
Okay. Come on.
The Messiah mentality, how the way that Jesus lived. And I believe that in so many ways you see much more of that same mentality. There's a mentality that Jesus has. That helped him to fight through things that the average man or woman could not fight through.
Right.
To the point where, like was mentioned before, he gave his life. He gave his life. God came down in the flesh, lived as a man, interacted. And he came here in John 17 and says that he came to make known the character of God. And he was able to do that beyond all of the translations and the chosen people and all these different types of things. He was able to project the character of God. He was a healer. He was a record. He is, I'm sorry, if we want to get into semantics. He is a healer. He is a reconciler. He is a comforter. He is all of these things. And as we look at Scripture, you know what's crazy is we're in Luke, right? Matthew, Mark, okay, cool. Luke chapter 11. Did I say 11 or 14?
17.
I said 17. It's like, yeah, Brando, you're getting to be the old guy.
All good.
Man, this is...
This is crazy.
Luke 17, 11 through 19. Can I read the scripture to you? I don't have my glasses. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God. In a loud voice, he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." We've heard that story a few times, yeah? There's some intricacies in this story that I want to share with you. One is Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. The goal of his journey is to be in Jerusalem. And we see in the story that Jesus, as he shows the character of God, he has mercy on social outcasts. You know, Jesus, in the story, he conforms to the Jewish norm by requiring that lepers go to their required priest and declare their health. And you can see this in Leviticus 14. This was like, if anybody has leprosy, when they're healed, they need to go back to the priest, and then the priest pronounces them they're good to go. They can be back in society. So Jesus conforms to Judaism in this sense. And we see this other piece where the lepers, their faith and healing, there's an obedience piece. When we're obedient to God, healing comes. We see that God extends grace beyond Judaism with Samaritans. And the Samaritans, oftentimes in scriptures, they receive special attention. Now, Samaritans aren't Jews. They're not the chosen people. To Jews, to the Jewish folk, Samaritans are dogs. And Jesus oftentimes uses these Samaritans as heroes in the story. It goes to show that whether chosen or not, God blesses everyone. Amen? This village, it lies somewhere between Galilee and Samaria. And these Jews and these Samaritans that have leprosy, they share community together. They call out. And it's interesting because in the story, they call out and they say, "Have pity, have mercy on us." It doesn't say that they said, "Heal us." It says that they said, "Have pity on us. Have mercy on us." Now, one thing you ought to understand about the Old Testament and the idea of leprosy is leprosy oftentimes was equated with generational sin. So if your parents or someone in your family tree sinned, if you had leprosy, it was because of somebody's sin. It wasn't something that just happened to people. You were a sinner. Yeah? That was what it was. I mean, you can see it in the story of the blind man when he goes to the priest and you know, then the parents come in and they're like, "Hey, we haven't sinned. We haven't done anything." It's like, well, then how'd you get healed then? Well, it's Jesus. So, you know, there's this mindset that if something is going wrong in your life, it's because of sin. Sometimes that's true. Sometimes that's not.
Right.
I mean, sin could be the overall thing when bad things happen, yeah, because we're in a sinful world.
Right.
Jesus' command required obedience based on some faith in his healing ability. So these lepers had some faith. They believed in Jesus enough to understand that there's something about this Jesus that he can heal us, that he can give us mercy, that he can do something. And I ask you this morning, do you believe in Jesus like that?
Come on, Brandon.
When we believe in Jesus like that, it's not just an acknowledgement. It's not an ability to just regurgitate all of the things that we've heard Jesus do. It's not an ability to regurgitate all of these miracles that happen and expect them. It's us, like the lepers being able to go out and submit ourselves to God. Whatever God asks me to do in order for me to experience healing, I'll do. And we see that with these lepers. And it says in the scripture, it says that in the text, it says that on their way to see the priest, they were cleansed. I mean, imagine that. Something extremely horrible is going on in your life. You have an encounter with Jesus. He says, you're healed. Go. And as you're going wherever, you're doing whatever that he asks you to do, you're feeling healing. It's interesting. Because then the scripture goes on to say that when Jesus spoke to the Samaritan that returned, he said, where are the other nine at? This Samaritan, he's not even a Jew. He's grateful enough to come back and speak to Jesus. Thank you. He drops on his knees. Thank you. Now his words after this are something that I want us to take note of. He says, where are the other nine? And then he says, your faith, he says, go, your faith has made you well.
Yeah.
Now, that begs this question. What does that mean for the other nine? What does that mean for the other nine? They were cleansed, but there's a graciousness that breeds a being well. You know, I think there's some things in this story for us that we can grasp hold of.
Right.
Jesus heals everybody. Jesus pays attention to everybody. Jesus hears everybody. Jesus responds to those who earnestly seek him, who believe that he heals. Jesus brings healing to those who obey him. I don't necessarily know what that healing looks like, but I think that there is a pattern throughout scripture when people expect healing from Jesus and they obey him, they experience it. I mean, think about it. How many times have you seen that in scripture? That's not just one time.
Right.
You know, when I think about spiritual heroes, I think, man, ask yourself this question. Have I been a spiritual hero to someone else in 2018? What does a spiritual hero look like?
All right.
They believe God. They move based on what he says, and they expect healing. Has that been us? When I think about going into next year, I want to be a spiritual hero. I want to believe in God. Now ask yourself this. In some areas of your life, you may have received healing. But there are some areas in all of our lives that we haven't necessarily turned completely over to God. And I want you to ask yourself this question. Why haven't you turned that over? Why don't we turn that over? I know for me, it's, man, I don't want to turn this over because I don't know what the outcome will be. This might inconvenience me. This might put me in a weak, vulnerable position. But ask yourself this question, church. Do you have to be in a no-win situation to turn those areas in your life over to Jesus? I mean, sometimes that's what it takes. I was in a staff meeting with a bunch of young folks one time. There was about 20 of us in the staff meeting. We had some interns that just got turned on to being interns. And I remember this one girl, she goes, she's praying. We're in this giant circle praying. And she prays, God, I want you to humble me and break me and all of this stuff. And there's like four or five people that looked up at her. And then we went around and we finished praying, and then the evangelist, the lead evangelist, he didn't smile or anything. He just said, sister, don't you ever pray that. Because you will get that. I say that because I want to ask you this question. In 2019, are you willing to humble yourself before God humbles you? In whatever that area is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We seeing leprosy, it's like, okay, boom, that's right there. But what about those internal areas that only we know about that have been a wrestle for us forever? Are we willing to turn those over in order to be spiritual heroes, in order to have a Messiah mentality, to be an individual that projects the character of God fully, more authentically? It will take us submitting in that way. Amen?
Amen.
I want to encourage you with this. Regardless of how your year has been, victories, and sometimes we think about the defeats more than we do the victories.
Yeah.
And when we become ungrateful, it breeds a spiritual unhealthiness.
Right.
We see this in scripture right here. These guys got cleansed, but because of their lack of gratefulness, now them being well becomes a question. Is your lack of spiritual wellness because you are not grateful?
Yeah.
I want to encourage you with this. Take some time before we get to 2019 and write down the things that you're grateful for.
Yeah.
And maybe some of you have already done this, and share them. Amen? I want to encourage you to really do that. I'm not just saying that you go, okay, I'm going to do it. And then you start, you know, by the time we got to get going. We got to do this. We got to, you know, amen. God is going to do it. But I think that there's more power through scriptures that we see when people are grateful,
yeah.
When people submit to God,
yeah.
When they live in obedience. Amen? It's not just about being cleansed, church. It's about being spiritually well. And the encouragement is, if you're not a spiritual person, or if you come here and you're seeking, the time is always right. I believe it's in Matthew 11 and verse 28. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Maybe you're here this morning in need of rest. You're weary. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Amen? Here's a few areas that I want to encourage you to really think about. God, show me where I need to be grateful. Help me understand the victories. Health. Healing experienced. People in your life, good and bad. There's some people that have been, in your mind, bad for you, that have called you to rely on God more. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Your possessions. You know, a lot of us have a lot of different things. And maybe to compare to somebody else, they're little. But compared to a lot of people, they're a lot.
That's
right.
Yep.
Yeah? Right. Opportunities. You know, if you're visiting with us and, you know, many people are visiting churches. Many people are making decisions to be more followers of Jesus right now. You have opportunity.
Right.
Some people have missed their opportunity. Trials. Trials make us feel inconvenienced. But trials, when we respond to them correctly, bring about the glory of God.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
So let's be thankful. Think about those things. And man, what if these things, man, if they've called you to rely on God, amen. If they've exposed your weakness and character to rely on Him, then amen.
Right.
You have opportunity to repent.
That's right.
Amen? What about closed doors? You know, closed doors. Sometimes doors close on relationships, employment. Doors close with opportunities. But the reality is that if those doors stayed open, would you be faithful to God? If those doors stayed open, would you be seeking God? If those doors stayed open, would your eyes be open to the power of God? Would you be looking for Him? What about spiritual blessings? Spiritual blessings. There's heaven. But there's also life here on earth where we get to experience snippets of heaven. When we are ungrateful, we miss those snippets. I'll close with this. We were on our way to Minnesota. We were packed up and we were ready to go. And, you know, Wendy, she's like the whatever those, you know, where they put the blocks in there or Minecraft. She kind of does that in the trunk. She does that every year. You know what I'm saying? So she puts all the bags, yeah, Tetris, all that good stuff. So she puts all of the stuff in the trunk. And I'm you know, I'm like, man, drive. Not even thinking about it, I got somewhere to go. Man, I'm gonna leave, I got stuff to do. Feel good. Man. So I get my mind right enough to go move the car and Wendy's gonna pull out of the garage, right? We got a garage. Grateful for that.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but there's been times when I haven't had a garage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they had to, yeah, and then the hail came. Oh my goodness. So she goes to pull out and I'm pulling out and I got my frowny face on. And she's going like this and I'm going. Roll down the window and she goes, the car won't start. And I don't know, I thought my response was like, okay, you know, it was cool. I didn't like fly off the handle, but in my mind I'm going, what? We did all this and the car won't start? This is going to be the starter. This is going to cost $800. Now I'm really not going to get a Christmas gift. So I go in there and I look and I'm turning it and then the you know, it's staying on, it's blinking and all this other stuff. And I'm like, it's a starter. It's going to be expensive and all this stuff. So Wendy goes in and she's on the phone. And I'm pacing around and the kids just kind of, you know, they get out and they go back in the house. And, you know, and I'm walking around getting all worked up. It's going to cost $1 million. This is horrible. I'm not saying any of that, but in my mind, so I've grown a little bit in the Lord. Amen. So Wendy starts talking to Lana and talks to the dealer and all this other stuff. And she goes, it might be a battery. And so here's how off I am. A battery and $700. I still got the same cadence of attitude. I'm like, a battery? That's going to cut into my Christmas money. So I'm not saying all this, so I just, okay, cool, I go, and you know, I hate working on cars and doing all that mechanical stuff, and so I got all the tools and everything, I go there, and I say, okay, can you charge this battery? You got about 50 amps in this. No, you need a new battery. What's the cheapest one? All right, give me it. Boom, go back. I hope this works. Set it in there. I have to take it out a couple times. I got to do all of this stuff, but we get the battery in there, and the car starts. Yay. And we ended up starting later, but then this thing that I hadn't thought about but was kind of prodding me as this whole thing was going on was, what if you guys were somewhere on the road where you had no help and it's cold outside and you didn't know what it was and you were somewhere stranded? What about that? And I started to think to myself, hold on a second. We were getting ready to leave and this all happened in the confines of our own garage. So our kids didn't have to sit in the cold and I didn't have to see them shivering and you know what I'm saying? I was able to go right to Walmart and do my thing. It all happened right in the confines of our own home. There's something to be grateful for in the midst of difficulty or being inconvenienced. Sometimes we don't know what it is because our spiritual well-being is off. Satan has opportunity and he jumps in there and we go with him. The question that I want to leave you with this morning, do you pray about seeing God's hand in difficulty? Now, if you go into next year grateful for all of the things that God has done and provided, your spiritual wellness will take you into 2019 not emotionally angry, but in a place where you believe more deeply. And as a church, our level of belief collectively has to go up.
Yeah.
So that we move in a way that we submit ourselves to God.
Yes.
And we give him opportunity to present his glory and not ours. Right now we're going to take communion. And before we take communion, I want us to be reminded of Jesus and the cross and his mercy, his undying mercy. And how it brings spiritual wellness to places in our lives that maybe other people can't see, but we know are there. Because of Jesus' death on the cross, we respond correctly, receive reconciliation and spiritual well-being in the sense that we see things on an eternal level more than a temporary.
Amen.
And even when we don't, God has enough grace and mercy to move in our lives and allow us to grow in Him. Let's pray and we'll take communion together. God, we're grateful for this time. We're grateful, Father, for Jesus. We're grateful for the cross. We're grateful, Father, for not only salvation, but the ongoing healing and transformation that comes as we are obedient to You. Father, we thank You that You don't discriminate, that You hear us all, that You want all men and women to be saved, You want all men and women to be reconciled to You, and that You have a perfect plan that You are implementing as You've defeated sin with Jesus on the cross. We don't necessarily know what healing looks like, but we pray, Father, to embrace the mercy that You've given us and that You continue to give us. Thank You for this time. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.